Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends, where we go in depth about the myths. We discuss the gods, the heroes, the actual stories that made these myths famous. Tonight you'll hear from me, Myth Maiden, and Never Knows Best on Never.
Hello.
And of course, we're going to talk about the one god that everybody loves to hate.
So, Myth Maiden, before we begin, is there anything you'd like to tell everybody about yourself and where you got into mythology in the first place?
So, I got into mythology because I had a great teacher when I was in high school. She started questioning the myths and telling us the stories, and I kind of fell in love with the storytelling. And the more I read and the more I talked about it, the more I investigated, the more I started falling in love with the different myths. It talked about the people, really, what they believed, who they were, what they thought. And I liked that. If I wasn't a podcaster, you know, I'd go into archaeology. But I really didn't want to do archaeology. I want to just study the mythology of these people.
So would you say you're more into stories than artifacts?
Yes, because through storytelling, things are passed down. Even the slightest information is given.
Okay. Well, I think our topic for tonight is Hades, so let's go ahead and get into that.
The god of the underworld, the scourge, the god of death, Hades. Was he really such a bad guy? Do the myths actually show that he was worse than any of the other gods? Join us and find out. Hades was an altruistic and passive god. Yes, he ruled with a stern and cold fist, never letting any of his guests in his realm leave. However, he was known to be partial and fair. Paintings of Hades are often depicted with him favoring his dog Cerberus, the three-headed dog who guarded the gates to Hades' kingdom.
Okay, so Cerberus, he's the three-headed dog type guy, right? What can you tell me about Cerberus?
So Cerberus was Hades' best friend. You know how the saying, man's best friend? That's how it was for Hades. He loved Cerberus almost as much as he loved Persephone. Cerberus was the gift to end all gifts for him.
A gift? Who gave him as a gift?
It was either Zeus or Hera who gave him as a gift. He was taken from Echidna, the mother of monsters.
Okay.
Hades loved Cerberus so much that he gave him an important job. Cerberus was set to keep every soul who resided in Hades' realm within Hades' realm. There was no way you could get past Cerberus without Hades' permission.
Why was it so important that people stay in Hades?
These were the souls of the dead, and for Hades, these were his subjects, his people. While people on the surface didn't talk about him because they assumed he was evil and to draw his attention would bring death to your home, Hades really wasn't like that. He kind of liked being the guy who... He was like the guy next door who always knows that shit's going down.
Well, but if he was such a nice guy, why did he have to keep people trapped there?
Because he didn't want the souls to go back. That was how his domain worked. It's just like, you know, Poseidon didn't let fish walk on land.
I mean, I guess I can understand that, but... I mean, I guess it makes a little bit of sense if people on the surface thought he was evil. You know, that's like being like, yeah, I went over to my friend's house for a barbecue, and then he locked me in his basement and told me that I couldn't leave anymore.
It could be kind of seen like that. Hades believed that the souls of the dead needed to be taken care of, and it hurt him even more when a soul was considered a lost soul or they couldn't pay the ferryman's way. There are myths out there about Hades going and taking lost souls to his daughter so that they would have a home, a resting place, because they couldn't come into his kingdom. But Hades loved his daughters. And to curry favor with Hades, to pray to his daughters and call them beautiful or blessed was known to encourage favor with Hades.
And why would people want the favor of the Lord of the Underworld?
Everybody has to die sometime.
So kind of putting in your good graces with the Godfather now so that you can be a made man eventually?
Pretty much. There were many, many souls who believed that if you curried favor with Hades, then you would create a better afterlife for you.
I guess I could understand that. I got a question. How did Hades end up becoming the Lord of the Underworld?
So, back when he was first born, you know, his dad Cronus, his mother Rhea, Cronus swallowed his children. Hades was the firstborn son. He had three older sisters and his younger brother Poseidon, long before Zeus came around. Zeus was the one who wasn't swallowed, of course. And Hades was the last one to be expelled from his father when forced to vomit. Hades was also the son who decided that they would draw lots in order to see which domain they would take. Poseidon drew for the oceans. Zeus originally drew for the underworld, but Hades took the underworld because he knew his brother wasn't strong enough to do what needed to be done.
So essentially he's just a doting big brother, and it's not necessarily that he got the bad shake. He just kind of was like, no, that job's too big for you, buddy. You sit this one out, I got this.
I mean, could you imagine Zeus in the underworld with Hera banging everything that moved?
I mean, I can, but that's because I like horror movies a whole lot.
Hades really loved his brother, and he was all about family. Out of all of the gods that you hear talked about, Hades is the one who would always try and find a way to make things work. He would always be the one that if a plan didn't come together the way it was supposed to, they knew they could always go to Big Brother Hades and he'd figure it out for them.
Can you give me an example of a time when this happened?
So, shortly after Hades took over the underworld, Hera, of course, finding out about Zeus's many flings, she charged Hercules with doing seven labors for his cousin. And she embedded the idea that Hercules go and get Cerberus and take him to the cousin. Of course, didn't work out in his cousin's favor. But when Hercules went and asked Hades, Hades agreed to it, but he gave Hercules three rules. Don't feed him human food. Don't hurt my dog. And of course, bring him back safe. All of which Hercules followed, except for he fed him food from the world.
So you're trying to tell me that James Woods and Disney lied to us about the way Hades was when it came to Hercules?
Yes. Hades didn't hate Hercules, and the story from Disney isn't even correct. Hercules isn't Hera's son. He's Zeus's son by a mortal woman. Hercules is a demigod because his mother is human.
Do you remember her name?
Actually, I don't. There's very few tellings that actually have his mother's name in it.
I'm gonna call her Betsy.
I'm pretty sure Betsy knew what was going on. Hera had Hercules kill his children and his wife, which was how he got into the seven labors. And one of his labors was to bring Cerberus to his cousin, who was the king. Cerberus, upon seeing the king, thought that this was playtime. He'd never been in the outside world. The only souls, the only humans he had ever seen were souls. They were dead. And so he began to play. Fortunately, Cerberus is a dog of the underworld. So he did what all dogs do. He fucked shit up. No, he fucked shit up. He ended up killing the king and several of the people in the king's court before Hercules sat down with him, played fetch, and then just, you know, took him back home after feeding him pheasant.
Do you feel like there are any, maybe not parallels, but some similarities between this story and the story of Fenrir?
I do feel like there are parallels between this story and the story of Fenrir. Fenrir was very misunderstood. Yeah, he was a big-ass dog, okay? But he wasn't a monster. He just wanted to be loved. He wanted to be accepted by the one person he thought the world of, Odin. And of course, Odin didn't accept him. He had him bound. And it caused a great hatred in Fenrir.
So, how did Cerberus end up back in the underworld at the end of all this?
He followed Hercules back home.
Aw, what a good puppy.
Yeah, he didn't want to be gone from his dad long.
Well, it's good to know that even in Greek mythology, you can have such thing as a good boy. Now, on to other subjects. I heard this whole messed up thing surrounding Hades and Persephone, and it really does kind of make me feel a little bit more... You know, it kind of reinforces the image of Hades as kind of a wily kidnapper and maybe kind of a sad sack a little bit. Do you have anything that you'd like to say in defense of him there?
So with Persephone, Hades was struck by her beauty, and it wasn't all his fault. Zeus encouraged that, and even instigated the whole situation. So Persephone was given to Hades as his spouse by Zeus, because as quiet as it was kept, she was also Zeus's daughter. So given to him. She was in a field. She was the only one that kind of didn't know that she belonged to Hades. Her mom knew, Zeus knew, Hades knew. Hades just went to go get his wife. When he went and got her, he kind of pulled a Zeus in a way. He just kidnapped this girl who had no clue that she was his wife. And he took her back to his world. So with Persephone, Hades saw her and instantly fell madly in love. He didn't come to the mortal realm regularly. This was one of his rare adventures up there. And we all know how that went. Hades kidnaps her, takes her to his world, feeds her 6 pomegranate seeds, and she's stuck there for 6 months.
Well, the way I heard it was that he offered her a pomegranate and she got about 6 seeds in before she remembered her mother's warning to not eat the food of the underworld.
There's a little more to it than that. So, she'd been there for a while. Like, the world was barren because she'd been there so long, because Demeter was so heartbroken that her daughter was missing. When she finally found out where she was, she demanded that Zeus bring her daughter back. And the whole time Persephone was there, she didn't eat anything. And before she left, he was like, hey, I have a pomegranate. Just eat a little bit of it and I'll let you go home. And so she did. She ate 6 seeds. It wasn't so much that she didn't want to eat. It wasn't until later when she realized that she had bound herself to the underworld, to Hades himself, that she became angry. She'd been tricked, but hey, he had to do what he had to do for love.
I mean, that almost sounds like you're justifying kidnapping.
I don't justify kidnapping. But in their myths, kidnapping, rape, murder, those were the norms.
I mean, I guess we can all agree that ancient times sucked for most people.
For a lot of people.
So, how did this all turn out between the two of them? I mean, she's bound there, but how did she end up deciding to be his wife?
She was just as in love with him as he was with her. And the fact that he even offered to give her the 6 months with her mother, it just put icing on the cake for her. She was happy that she got to see her mother, but she was dying to come back every time because she got to see him. And yeah, Demeter was pissed.
Is it possible that Demeter more or less lost a bet and that's why she lost her child?
I mean, with Zeus, anything is possible. But no, Demeter was so heartbroken that she allowed crops to wither and die. There were no flowers. The world was barren and full of snow.
Demeter, you had one job!
And it became such a worry that the other gods, who were worried they wouldn't get any more prayers, begged Zeus to fix this and fix it fast.
Zeus, for once, can you clean up your goddamn mess?
Pretty much that's what he was told to do. And he did. He kind of sent, well, he didn't do it. He sent Hermes to do it. And Hermes told Hades, you know, your wife's got to go back to her mom. But if you can get her to eat something here, she can come back. And of course, that's where the pomegranate comes in. She hadn't eaten the whole time she was there because her mother had always told her, never eat anything in the realm of the dead. And she was so hungry and so thirsty. And finally, she gave in and she ate 6 small pomegranate seeds. And in doing so, you know, she ended up having to stay there for 6 months out of a year.
Pomegranate, it's not just juice for basic bitches.
Demeter was so upset when she found out that she'd been tricked by Hades that she made it a life's goal to try and make him miserable. She always told Persephone bad things about him when she came to visit her for her 6 months.
Bad things like what?
She would tell Persephone that Hades didn't leave his realm because he was afraid of the other gods. That he was evil and he stole souls. That he would bar people from coming. But Persephone got to see a side of him that none of the other gods got to see. She got to see how caring and how kind he actually was. So, back in the story with Cerberus and Hercules, Hercules actually gets to meet Persephone before he meets Hades. And Persephone is the one that tells him not to cheat, lie, or steal while he's there. Persephone had been there for a while and she'd gotten to see a lot of things that happened there. She'd gotten to see how Orpheus got to come and get his wife because of the song he played that poured out his heart and Hades being so moved by it. Because he saw it as a way of showing Persephone how much he loves her as well. But yeah, she got to see a side of Hades that a lot of gods didn't get to see. Hermes knew that Hades was a good guy. Hermes had once seen Hades on one of his very rare trips outside of the underworld carry the soul of a woman who had been beaten to death back to the underworld. He paid for her fare.
And of course, Zeus knew his big brother wasn't a total cock because, well, he took the worst job just to keep him from having to do it.
Zeus didn't see it that way. Zeus saw it as his big brother wanted a kingdom that he couldn't touch.
I mean, but that seems totally fine if you know that that means that guy can't touch your kingdom either. I mean, it's not like Poseidon who could just throw tidal waves up and kill your people, man. The only thing Hades could really do is George Romero that ass.
Hades was also known to be very vocal about people who lied, cheated, or stole, and you could never cheat death with Hades.
Is that the reason why people think liars, thieves, and people who cheat at cards go to hell?
It might be. Hades was known to hate cheaters, liars, and thieves. Hades was cheated out of something once, and believed that the guy cheated him. And he was cheated. There was a guy who cheated death. And he cheated death by becoming a god.
Well, that's not so much cheating as finding a loophole, though.
Yeah, a loophole that Zeus specifically wrote into the bylaws without Hades.
I mean, is it writing it into the bylaws that if you're a god, then you don't die and you don't go to the underworld?
Yeah, but this guy didn't do anything that made him special. Which is why it became such a big thing. Remember the Hercules movies that Disney did with Danny DeVito and Michael Bolton?
Yeah, the one I referenced earlier.
Yeah. The statement that Philoctetes states that, you know, they almost made it was what really made that movie the way that it was. If you were a hero, you could be a god. This guy didn't even become a hero. He was a nobody. He bought his way to goddom with Zeus by offering his sister.
I mean, it kind of seems like a raw deal for Zeus, since he could have just turned into a beam of light if he felt like it.
Zeus was known to do that, and animals and other paraphernalia. Hey, he turned a whole chick into a cow.
And also, this entire thing of this random guy kind of makes me feel like that might have been the inspiration for Caden Kalian from Pathfinder.
It wouldn't surprise me.
All hail the lucky bastard.
But yeah, this guy, Hades, hounded him so badly that he begged Zeus to kill him with a thunderbolt.
Why do you think more people haven't heard of this particular god in this particular myth?
Because most people only see the myths that are posted, more so the myths that are written about the most, and a lot of them show Hades as being uncaring or not even there.
You know, when we started coming up with the pitch for this series, I thought we were going to spend a lot of time bashing on gods, but now it seems like we're going to be spending most of our time in Greek literature, mostly just bashing on Zeus. I know some of the other gods did some other fucked up shit, but it always gets traced back to Zeus, and it seems like Hades was the complete antithesis to him. A guy who should have been the king of gods, who maybe could have handled the proposition, and maybe the world wouldn't have been so shitty if he had.
Yeah, Hades was the god. He was the oldest, so he should have gotten Zeus's realm. But again, he was also the big brother who knew how to placate his little brothers. That doesn't mean he didn't slap them around sometimes.
Alright, well, I know we've gone on quite a bit for quite a while, but I think it's about time that we start to wrap things up. So do you have any final thoughts on Hades? Any last things you'd like to share? You can just kind of, we can call this the lightning round.
So while Hades was a pillar of society and he ruled a bunch of people who honestly didn't really like him, they thought that all of their misgivings and their shortcomings were his fault. But at the end of the day, he was a really good guy. He kind of did some underhanded crap, you know, like most Greek gods did. But for the most part, he didn't care. He wanted to see people happy. He wanted to be happy. And he loved his brothers. He loved his wife, mostly. Hades was one of those gods who was altruistic and kind. He was stoic, and people didn't want to believe that he was as nice as he was. Because, come on, at the end of the day, the biggest fear that men have is death. So a lot of times people looked at him in an unfavorable way, even though he was a favorable person. Or God, however you want to see him.
Gods are people too, right?
Yeah, gods are people too. They hurt, they get angry, they do fucked up things, but they're still people.
Cats are people too.
Cats are definitely people.
And with that said, let's go ahead and call this the end of our first episode of Myths, Monsters, and Legends. Anything you want to say to the people back at home?
I enjoyed talking about myths with you guys. I enjoyed going in depth and looking at the myth instead of just, you know, telling a nice story. These myths were from times when people believed these things. They believed in these gods, goddesses. And so talking about them has always been a passion of mine. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon. From those of us at Myths, Monsters, and Legends, and our very own Never.
Bye.
Good night.